You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's a dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my ear bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is gonna be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am one of your ostentatious hosts, Martin Bruda. And with me today are...
the amazing Adam Bishop.
The charismatic Chris Ellis.
And the awful Dan Collins.
Oh, I was going for dashing. Dashing Dan Collins.
So, yeah, that would have been a good
Dapper.
And I thought Marty was going to lead off with one of your awful hosts. So I was like, yeah, we're awful. Sure.
There we go. How is everybody doing?
Wonderful. Awful. What? Damn it.
on lockdown eve.
Yet
again.
Part 7.
It's almost as exciting as Christmas, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the last time I got
it's reverse
locked
Christmas.
Down, it's reverse Christmas.
It's not that bad here in Peter Patch because, excuse me, we were already red.
Yeah.
So the restrictions aren't quite as bad, but like Dan and I got haircuts, and that's gone.
Looking good, Marty. Looking good.
It's actually grown a little bit. It's a little poofy. You can't see because of the of the nature of radio waves. But yeah, a bit poofy. And what else is? Well, I mean, this isn't the COVID show, so go to the Government of Ontario website. It'll tell you what's going on.
You know, I'd kill for poofy hair, right? Just so we're all...
So when I got my haircut, should I have got them to throw some glue on it and
giving
it to you as a wig?
Patch it on there.
My joints are shot. Lactose intolerant. Allergies like crazy. I can't see worth a darn. I'm wearing 3 different pairs of glasses just to get through the day. But I do have an insanely luxurious mop of hair. So I have a few genes going for me. Not a lot. So don't be too anxious to swap gene base with me because
see, now I on the other hand don't have luxurious hair like you do, but it turns out that when I get a haircut and actually put 10 seconds worth of effort into it, I can actually make it look okay.
I'm too stupid for effort when it comes to hair. He said get pomade and he showed me and he did this thing. I'm like, pomade, that's from the 50s, man. What the heck, pomade? Where am I going to find pomade? Don't kids use like mousse and gel? So I went, I looked, I found this stuff called pomade. I put it in my hair and I'm like, it's not doing what it did for him. I looked greasy.
You need
it's
some
like, only use a time. I put it in. Hair's got to be dry. Like I paid attention. I couldn't do it.
You bought the pomade from Wish, didn't you?
No. Some Wish stuff came in the mail, but no, that wasn't Wish.
Action figures.
My kids are addicted to Wish, so
purses.
I bought a $7,000 Tudor Black Bay watch from Wish for $27. Yeah.
It's real for sure.
Oh yeah.
Definitely real.
I overpaid. The quality of this thing. This is like a Dollarama $4 watch. This thing's horrible.
Oh,
but anyways, it was fun. It was $27.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to fool anybody. All right, I actually read comics this week. I don't know about you guys, nice. But I actually read a stack of comics.
Nice. Nope, nothing here.
I read some books too.
Good. Found myself with the right pair of glasses, the right mood, the right lighting. And actually read a stack. What did you plow into this week, Chris?
Probably the one that was the most of note was Cold Dead War from Heavy Metal.
Ooh.
And it's based on the actual, like, the Heavy Metal movie. And you know, the scene or the short where they're flying in the military plane and the green meteor comes and turns them all into kind of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So this comic takes place after that war.
Oh my goodness. You said Cold Dead War.
Yeah.
That's not what I heard.
Oh, is that why you were freaking out there? Yes. Cold Dead War. Not
Cold I Dead heard War. Cold Dead no. Whore.
Nope.
Now, it might be because of the very bad Navy jokes that Dan was telling us before the show started.
Dan's never been in the Navy. He doesn't know any Navy jokes. Try again. I'm PG Dan. I am the most straight-laced guy you'll ever find. I won't tell a dirty joke.
Okay, Cold Dead War. Yes, war. Now I understand. Now I get it. That was is it Iron Maiden? That has the zombie like Eddie guy or something.
Yeah,
wasn't he in like an Air Force pilot-y outfit at one point in time? Kind of like, is that where they got this from, or homaged, or
that? I'm not sure where the whole Eddie thing came from.
I remember the clip you're talking about.
Yeah, so that was kind of a neat book. And obviously, the first issue, there's not a whole lot happening. It's mostly just introducing stuff. But it's kind of neat because we all watched the movie before they shut everything down. We actually went and saw it in the theater, and so it's just kind of a nice little add-on to something that you've seen. So it was kind of cool.
When we saw that in the theater, I think my favorite part was when an elderly couple came in. Right, I think it was during a sex scene. And just this old man with his walker sat down. He's probably like, yeah, this is what I came for.
This is what you came for.
Leave Marty out of this.
Now, wasn't there a bit of a controversy or something that book got canceled because of rights or something?
It did. I don't know if it got canceled. It definitely was delayed. It was supposed to be out like in November or something like that, and it ended up getting pushed back, but it's out now.
Oh, cool. So they must have figured out, because it says here Heavy Metal cancels Cold Dead War orders. This is back in October.
Yeah.
Something about Dan O'Banion. Now, is Dan O'Banion, didn't he write Farscape? That name is really familiar. Anyways, he and George C. Romero wrote the story as well, and I guess there were some rights problems, or
probably.
Obviously, it all got straightened out if the book's out.
Sure, so everybody's in for some money. That's if it goes well, everybody's happy, right?
Isn't that the way it goes, eh? Everybody wants everyone wants their 10%.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought he had something to do with Farscape, because I'm looking at his filmography on Wikipedia and he didn't do anything of the such. Blue Thunder, Heavy Metal, Alien. He was involved in Alien as the writer.
Okay.
What else? Alien versus Predator, Total Recall from 2012. Life Force, my favorite weird British sci-fi movie.
That's a canon film. Life Force is the best.
Great film. It's a great film for very, very nice brown, supple reasons.
That was a Toby Hooper movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one freaked me out when I first saw it as a kid is a strong word. I wasn't really a kid in 1985.
I was
graduated high school in 88. So. But yeah, that was fun. What else did you read, Chris?
I read Chariot. It's a new series that's out from AWA, I think.
I thought I pre-ordered AWA. That.
Yeah, I got it last week.
That's the cyberpunk comic, right?
It is, yeah. And it's like, it's kind of like Knight Rider, where the car is alive.
Oh, okay. You lost me. I was just, I'm interested. Knight Rider. I'm not a fan.
But, I mean, there's more going on, obviously, than that. But it's, and again, it's just the first issue. So it's kind of just introducing the characters and stuff. But it was kind of interesting. The art was a little strange, but it wasn't bad.
For some reason, I thought I pre-ordered that.
No.
Maybe I didn't.
Yeah. And then I just got caught up on G.I. Joe.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you been looking for that one? Is it one issue that you're missing, or was it a few?
Three. Yeah. I tried to bid on them on My Comic Shop. You know, they have their auction.
Yeah.
And typically it's cheaper, usually by a lot, than or eBay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was checking out to see if I could get them, but I was always outbid at the last second for that stuff. So
that always happens.
Yeah.
I always...
Did you ask Marty what he paid for them?
Like, Marty, let me buy them off you.
He's sticking his tongue out.
I didn't buy it. I didn't have it. Don't blame me this time.
This time? Uh-oh.
Wait, you can blame me in the past. I've done it in the past.
When we were concerned about Gilpin not getting that Arthur Adams cover, were you the other bidder on it? Yes.
I think all three of you guys were bidding against each other.
Yeah,
I guarantee you the three of us had the exact same idea and we were bidding against each other.
Yep, and I won it. Very good shipping. I think it was from PEI or New Brunswick. It was within Canada, and like great shipping and nice packing, whoever it was that I bought it off of.
Yeah, I haven't bought anything off eBay in a while. I'm trying to stay away from there.
I wish I could say that.
Give us your password and we'll change it for you.
Exactly. What I should do is just buy a bunch of stuff and not pay for it. So I got a small pile of Sergeant Rock comics coming.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
A small pile of Jonah Hex comics. Suicide Squad Silver Age Omnibus. Guardians of the Galaxy Omnibus. A Just League of America Treasury Edition, an old one. The Dreadstar 3 Volume Omnibus. Jungle Adventure number 1 Hardcover. Miscellaneous Batman comics. Flash of Two Worlds number 123 Hardcover Deluxe Edition. That's what I got from eBay.
Wow.
All the same seller, hopefully. Combined shipping. No.
Oh, gosh, no. And then I got some
stuff. That sounds expensive, Martin.
Yeah. Got some stuff coming from Shout Factory, from my Mego dealer in the States, Frank. Some stuff from Lev Gleason. Okay, I've ordered some stuff from Lev Gleason. I don't know if it's ever coming.
Nope.
Three items from Kickstarter, two from Indigo. The Highlander and the Kurgan action figure pre-order. What was it? Incendium?
Oh, is that like the... Yeah, I saw those. I thought about it, and then I didn't.
Bunch of pre-order trade paperbacks at Grey Guardian Games that are coming. Obnoxious amount of omnibuses coming from Amazon, and then some watches of ill repute from AliExpress.
Did you buy the NECA figures from the Highlander double pack of the Kurgan and Connor? No. Because I know Comic Alley Toys had it at one point for $80 in their window, and I looked at it and I'm like, I like the way the Kurgan looks, but I like modern day Connor, so I didn't buy it. And now I regret it because it's like $300, $400.
Yeah, it's pretty steep last time I took a look at it.
Yeah, they had it. Oh, I'm such a dumbass. I should have grabbed it just to sell to you later.
Oh, you're so funny. What? Everybody's attacking Marty today. What do I do?
Hey, Chris, did you buy anything recently?
I may have bought some stuff from Marty.
Ooh.
And then in turn, Marty went on an eBay shopping spree.
It's actually the other way around.
Oh.
Marty went on an eBay shopping spree and now has to pay for it.
Mm.
So it's like, hey,
yeah,
somebody buy my shit.
So I picked up some of his, well, actually some his Jonah Hex stuff, and including the ones that haven't actually arrived yet.
I feel embarrassment for both of you.
You should.
Marty's a reseller now. He's just a straight up reseller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you at least make some markup on it, Marty?
No.
You don't know how reselling works.
It's Chris.
Sure. So
it's like I'll give you these books for a buck each, and then this pile that I'm getting from eBay, whatever they're charging me from eBay. We may have rounded up to the nearest dollar or nearest $5, but yeah.
Are those classic Hex books, Chris, from the 70s?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Including his first appearance from All-Star Western number 10.
Yeah. So All-Star Western number 10, Jonah Hex number 1, and then a bunch of miscellaneous books from the series.
And then the Hex series from like the
that god awful Hex series.
Yeah. Oh, most of them are terrible. I have like pretty much all of the mini series and stuff from the late 80s, early 90s, and
they're so bad. Were you on this show? I read one back like during the first lockdown.
Which one? That was Riders of the Worm. Those were actual Jonah Hex ones.
Oh, Riders of the Worm. Yeah.
He's talking about Hex, the sci-fi one.
Yeah,
Jonah finds himself in the post-apocalyptic future of Mad Max.
Yeah,
I remember Dan talking about the ones that he read, and he was so upset.
Yeah, Chris, have you read Riders of the Worm?
I own it. I have not read it.
So bad! It was literally I think I can honestly say it's the worst thing I've read in years. In years, it was so bad.
Nice. It wasn't great.
It's funny. Dan showed interest in some, what was it, X-Men Marvel Masterworks trade paperbacks of mine. And he's like, how much for them? I'm like, $20 an issue. And Dan's like, out of curiosity, how much did you pay for them? And then I go to Amazon, I type in like orders like X-Men. And then I screenshot, I'm like, I paid $17.99 for them. But I didn't know at the time. But yeah, everything that's out of print is ridiculous for how much anything's going for now with lockdowns and coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's some kind of a weird, funky math calculation formula that hits like used book dealers and Amazon when something goes out of print. And then it gets amplified if you're trying to get it in Canada. It's like there's this one omnibus I'm looking for. It's like $600 US, 700 and change Canadian. I'm like, no, this thing was $95 when it came out. Forget that.
Yeah, I like when you look up a DVD and it's like $1,000 and you're like, what? Yeah. what kind of crack is this guy on?
Like it's either it's a bunch of crack smoking Trump voters or it's got to be some kind of a weird algorithm or something that's like.
It's the golden rule of eBay. You can put whatever price you want on the book. It doesn't mean it's going to sell.
Yeah, but free shipping.
Oh, yeah, at least. But no, I don't need to pay $40 on shipping for a DVD.
Well, I actually have this weird auction at the moment where I can't remember what it is, but it's from a Canadian seller, and it was $35 Canadian or some of this. They're like, discount, I'll give you a discount, $20 Canadian, you can have it. And I'm like, that sounds fantastic. And I was just about to hit accept offer, and then I'm like, oh, wait a sec. Let me look at the ad again because I've been burnt on this a couple of times. I didn't read the description as fully. So I went and pulled it up. $40 Canadian shipping from a Canadian address for a comic book.
Wow.
I was like, what glue are you on?
Was it in Ontario and you could just drive to pick it up if you want? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Kitchener.
Yeah. Like, you'd be like, can I come get it? Like, no. $40. Damn.
What? For a $20 item? I'm like, come on now. No borders, no nothing in Ontario. Like, are you charging me the fee that the Uber guy is going to charge you to pick you up and drive you to the post office? Like, what?
What you can always do is say, and it's like, yeah, I'll pay for shipping. Once you get the receipt for how much is shipping, I want the refund of the difference.
Yeah. I think I specifically said to the person, I'm like, oh, it's a Green Arrow action figure. Green Arrow Retro Action Mattel Action Figure Geek.
Is it in box still?
And it's, yeah, it's in package, okay. But $40.67 from Chatham, Ontario.
Chatham.
I'm like, come on now. $40? That's a bit crazy.
I bought a comic in England and had it shipped here for like $8 US.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Been there, the global shipping program, things are sometimes cheaper to buy from Australia and England than it is to buy it from the US.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've bought a whole whack of missing comics in my Bronze Age runs from England and from Australia.
Like, and how is it possible? Did Chris buy off you?
How is it possible you can order something from Australia cheaper than the US? Chris just got Jonah Hexes from me. Come on now.
I was going to say, Australian freight is like astronomical too, so that makes no sense.
Yeah, it's just bonkers.
Yeah.
I think it's got a lot to do with this global shipping program, kind of, you know, Pitney Bowes taking a $40 brokerage fee per $10 of packaging or whatever. There's some monkey business going on in there.
Yeah.
Going back to what you were saying about the omnibus price at like $700, I know I saw like an article or something a few years ago about two sellers that were selling a book, and one seller had a thing to constantly, like an algorithm set up to update their pricing to undercut any other price by 5%. But another seller had one that was to like raise the price by 10% because they thought like their brand name, their great feedback and stuff, people would buy from them, even though it's a little more expensive. And between the two algorithms, like it got a book up to like $100,000.
Oh.
So sometimes that's what happens.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
This is what happens when you let computers rule the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
And nobody's actually buying it. It's like the.
No.
That's bonkers.
Well, does anybody have the two Hickman Fantastic Four omnibus? Omnibuy?
No.
No? Okay, I have a friend looking for one. I thought I'd ask. Anyways.
I thought I'd just ask live on air.
Yep.
So my stack of red books is a little bit more larger than that.
What did you plow through, Marty?
Oh, man. So much. Yeah, this is the right pile. I got two piles. I got one that was like stuff I read that I really didn't care about and I really don't want to bash it on air. And then stuff that I read that I liked. I don't know how it happened or where or when, but the conversation came up about X-Factor when, was it, oh, come on now, help me out here. Peter David?
Yeah.
And Larry Stroman? Was it Larry Stroman? Took over? Was it Peter David? Now I gotta look inside the comic.
You don't have to do that.
Yes. Peter David and Larry Stroman. They kind of took over, and it was Havoc, Polaris, Wolfsbane, Jamie Madrox, and Strong Guy.
That's like early X Factor.
Yeah, yeah. Like this is it's a dollar comic book, so whenever that, how many years ago was that? 1991. And I remember reading it when it first came out, and I really dug it. I really dug it. So I'm like, well, shoot, I must have issues of this somewhere. Went digging through my CLZ. Nope. It was part of that 10 long box for $500 I sold to Jeff's Comics in 2004. So I'm like, okay, well, I got to, you know, it's got to be here somewhere. And there's a Epic collection that I ended up ordering that was out of print, so I have to wait for the third party seller to send it. It hasn't arrived yet, and I was looking for this, looking for that. I just happenstance went to Nostalgic Journey, the antique mall just down the street from me. Sitting there, $3, first issue. So
I picked it up. We can't see it, Marty. Your background's messing
your
it up.
Your NPR, yeah. Your fake NPR background won't let us see that.
My my fake wallpaper, so you guys don't see my dirty bedroom. But X Factor, what is it, issue 71?
Oh, yeah. I got that one. Actually, I have both covers of that one.
All new, there was two covers?
Pretty sure.
Oh my gosh, now I gotta go look for the other cover. So anyways, I picked it back up, immediately fell back in love with this. This was great stuff back then. This was just hilarious and fantastic. And I really forgot what a good writer Peter David was. because he's written like my favorite Hulk run.
Yeah.
You know, and he did this. He wrote a whole bunch of Star Trek novels that I really dug. I just dug the snot out of it. This was fantastic.
I was going to say, so, I have issue 70, which is Mike, what's his name? Mike
Mignola.
Yeah. Beautiful cover, too.
He's a fantastic artist. Yeah, we could talk about that later, because there's a John Romita Jr. news.
But oh, it was a reprint, sorry. So it has the same comic, just a silver or gold background.
Oh, well, I still want that. So I'm happy that the Epic Collection is coming so I can read the rest. And that's my vibe now, right? Like, normally I would have, like, hit eBay and tried to find all the issues I'm missing and gone to, like, all the comic shops trying to get the back issues and stuff, paid too much. Whatever the Epic Collection is, $39.95, and I'm done. I can read it.
I'm proud of you, Marty.
Don't have to worry about Mylar and all that stuff. I just got to find somebody else to buy all the rest of my comics. which brought me right into X-Men Legends number one. Mm-hmm. Issue two was coming out this week, so I did read this when it first came out, but I wanted to refresh myself a little bit. And I kind of have you guys like read a comic but not really read a comic? Like you can't you remember just end up what flipping was in through. It?
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of like plow through it real quick, and then it's like, oh, on to the next one, and you don't really remember what it was.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, new glasses. That's probably got a lot to do with, and the antidepressant meds are kicking in. So it's like, yeah, let's read comics again. So I reread X-Men Legends number one. Again, a 1990s vibe to the comic. Fantastic. It was just great. This is what, like, Hickman, I just don't. If they just did this House of X, Powers of 10, Sword of X, Sword of 10, whatever, if they just did it in a couple of issues and just relaxed a little bit and focused on like an X-Men book and an X-Force book and an X-Factor book. Instead, there's like, what, 17 different X-Men titles all wrapped up into, it's just nuts. It's almost as bad as Batman. Not quite, but almost as bad. My goodness. So this was Fabian.
Yep. Boy, no, I know exactly who you're talking about. I'm not
dramatic pauses. We hope somebody will try pronouncing this last name.
No.
Nicesia.
There you go. And I think. And Brent Booth doing the art.
I just wasn't paying attention.
And this is the lost tale of the third Summers brother.
Ooh,
and it's 90s X-Men gold. It yeah. is absolutely, if that's your vibe, 90s X-Men, you'd love this book. You'd love it.
I'm still trying to complete my run on The Adventures of the X-Men based off the cartoon show based off the comic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I have like two more issues to go, and then I'm going to grab the 92s and maybe I'll jump into that one.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read The Joker number one. First time there's been a Joker comic book since I'm getting bad camera angles here, but we're not doing video anyway, so yep. It doesn't matter. All the video is saved for later blackmail. We'll see. But who did this one? I don't remember off the top of my head, and the splash page isn't where the splash page should be, so now I have to pretend. No, not even gonna try reading it. Oh no, that's the cover. Frank Quietly. Variant cover. Oh, here we go. James Tynion, the fourth. Julien March, Ghouli. I forget names. If your name doesn't end in the ski, I can't pronounce it. It was pretty good. It was okay. I'm not getting the rest of the series, but it was okay. Crime Syndicate. From DC, number one of a 6-issue miniseries. This is the evil Justice League of America from Earth 3, if you recall your 1980s Earth 1, 2, and 3 vibe. It was great. I loved this book. This was fantastic. Fantastic art. Great writer. Don't know these guys at all. I've never followed anything that they've done. They must be new. Andy Schmidt and Kieran McCowan.
I don't know who that is.
I should have worn my reading glasses for the radio show so I could actually read these. But it was fun. Evil Superman, Ultraman. That was a fun book. Suicide Squad number one. Of course, DC's rebooting everything. You got to have Suicide Squad because the movie's coming out.
And it was coming. Is a reboot as well.
It was great. It was good.
Well, is it the same characters that are in the movie?
Technically, the movie is not a reboot.
It's a soft reboot?
But it is not a slave to canon sequel.
It's a C-boot.
Some of the same characters. They're not going to contradict anything that happened in the first movie, but they're not referencing the first in any way. But the same guy plays Rick Flag. Same gal plays Harley Quinn. You know,
Was Will Smith in the movie?
Hey, Will Smith was in the first one,
but he's not in the second one.
As Deadshot, and he won't be in the second one. He's been replaced-ish by Idris Elba playing Bloodsport. Bloodsport? I think it's Bloodsport. He was
Bloodsport is a bad guy, isn't he? Like,
yeah, he was a Superman villain, right? Yeah, they're all villains.
Yeah, no,
but the point of the Suicide Squad is it's a whole bunch of villains that we can put on these suicide missions to get points for getting out of jail early. But yeah, he was John Byrne Superman series early introduction character. So of course his first appearance in whatever it is, Superman 6, Superman 7, 11,
is stupid.
Is going stupid in price. That was a fun book. It's a mini series though. I get the impression DC's gonna be doing nothing but miniseries except for their main characters, such as Swamp Thing, number 1 of 10.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. Which was pretty funky. If you're into the new 52 Alan Moore style of Swamp Thing instead of the other, it's always kind of like a little horror gothic kind of book. It was all right. Didn't excite me enough to like say I want the rest of them, but knowing me, I'm an idiot. I'll get the hardcover when it comes out. Read the rest. Nightwing, DC Comics' favorite bum. If Captain America is America's favorite butt, Nightwing is DC Comics' favorite butt. So many memes out there of Nightwing's bum. Poor Dick Grayson. But this is Nightwing 78. It's kind of like the new relaunch and everything. And he's back. He's no longer Rick Grayson. And he does his thing. And, you know, the art's pretty good. Like, you got all these fantastic artsy splash pages and stuff. Because, you know, they get paid by the page. So two splash pages are easy.
They also get paid by the page that they write.
Well, so the guy wrote two pages. He said on page one, splashy.
Those are my favorite pages to write.
Yeah, exactly. Building, page two, Nightwing jumping from said building. Artist, if you'd like, this is an excellent opportunity for a two-page spread. Alien, number one from Marvel. Love Aliens movies. Love Aliens original comic books.
That's the Greg Land one.
This is, I don't know. Like, I don't think it was Greg Land who did the art inside. Is it?
It's was somebody he just a cover artist?
Salvador LaRocca. Salvador LaRocca. Now, he used to do X-Men. His art was better on X-Men. It's not horrible, but it's not fantastic. And it's an entire setup issue. It's a number one. This is our new reality. This is setting up the characters. There's absolutely nothing happening in this comic book, but here's everybody. And, you know, there's a dad and his son hates him. And he's an ex-Marine that's battle scarred because of an alien incident that they're going to talk about later. It's just a setup issue. It was a shame that it wasn't more catchy, you know. First issue, grab their attention. Second issue, fill in the details. Third issue, fill in the details. But grab their attention on the first one. It's too much of a trope to, like, waste the first issue on setting up the world. So it was okay. I don't know. Not getting the series. Yeah. But maybe the trade when it comes out or the omnibus. Have we figured this out? Is it omnibuses or is it omnibuy?
I don't think we ever settled on any either one.
Omnibi?
It's just omnibus.
Omnibuses.
Singular and a plural.
Omnibus.
Omni broke.
Omnibus. I'm going with omnibus. Like geese.
Omnibus?
Omnibus. So from now on, I'm just going to say omnibus. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, no Nobody knows what I'm talking about anyways. And then the last book that's, oh no, there's two books, but I'm glad Gilpin's not on. The next one is Redemption from Artists, Writers, and Artisans.
Oh, I read that one too. That's a good one.
It was fun. It's a little futuristic cowboy Mad Max. I love the fact that the main villainess in here is drawn to look like Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
and it's no coincidence that some of the other characters look like other actors and stuff. And I thought it was pretty good. It was fun. I got two issues of that came in because I didn't order in time.
Oh.
So I got as a back issue from Grey Guardian. Good old Sean managed to get those for me. That was fun.
Yeah, I liked it.
I dig Artists, Writers, and Artisans just as much as I dig Aftershock. Those are two companies that are pumping out some pretty good books.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And the last book that I read that I want to talk about. Justice League, number 59. The introduction of Brian Michael Bendis as the writer of the flagship DC comic. Now, Bendis.
He's your best friend, isn't he?
I loved Ultimate Spider-Man. I read Ultimate Spider-Man by trade paperback. Have them all. They're still over there sitting there. I kind of reread them every once in a while. Loved his work on that. Fantastic book. Great. And then Chris is like, oh, Bendis is ruining the universe. I'm like, calm down. He's a good writer. What are you talking about? Oh, he's ruining the universe. I'm like, calm down. And then I start reading Bendis on Superman and Legion of Superheroes. And I'm like, Bendis is ruining the universe. Chris is like, God, don't tell me to calm down. Two of us are sitting there ranting with picket signs going, Bendis sucks. I hated Heroes Under Him. It was like CW has some superhero shows, right? But other than the superhero shows, they have all these angsty teen dramas and angsty young millennial adult dramas. And that's what the book was. It's just verbal diarrhea on the page. So many balloons. And everybody's an angsty teen with issues. And I was just like, ugh. And then Superman, same thing. It just became the Jonathan Kent, you know, oh, woe is me book. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. Fine. How can you screw up Justice League of America? It's the flagship book. DC's not going to. Yeah, it's.
Joss Whedon did it.
Oh, it's bad. Oh, it's bad. I would rather watch Joss Justice League on an endless loop all weekend long than have to buy another issue of this, even though I'm already committed to at least two more.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know, pull lists. I just don't know. So Shazadam is in it.
Shazadam?
Okay. Shazadam. Black Adam for a tiny, tiny little bit was referred to as Shazadam in the comic book. Not this one, but a previous one. They don't call him Shazadam in this. They just call him Adam and Black Adam. But it's got Black Canary and Green Arrow. I was excited about that. Two of my favorite characters. They are barely used in this book. I mean, and it's just to set up sexual tension between the two of them, and that's it. So, you know, if anyone's going to be get caught doing something in the monitoring room and the Justice League satellite that they're not supposed to, it'll be those two under Bendis. Hawk Girl, Superman, Aquaman, Batman, Naomi, the character that Bendis brought over when he joined DC that I know nothing about. So saving judgment on that because I don't know anything about it. And then not Wonder Woman, but what's the older Wonder Woman? Hippolyta? Nobody knows what I'm talking about because nobody's DC but me.
That's sorry, man.
At one point in time, I think it's Wonder Woman's mom. It's like an older version of Wonder Woman.
Wait, how do they have kids?
Wonder Woman was made out of clay.
Shut up, seriously?
In the comic books, Wonder Woman was made out of clay. The queen wanted a kid and couldn't have one because obviously they don't have kids because there's no men on the island. So she made a baby out of clay and and made a wish to the gods, and the gods turned it into a...
Oh, that's nice.
So that's weird, the original origin, long time. Okay, that's the origin that this kid that was born in 1969 remembers. Mm-hmm. Maybe she had a different origin in 1940, whatever. I can't remember, but that was sort of the 70s-ish, 80s-ish origin for her. So yeah, it sucked. It wasn't great. I know I said I made two piles and I wasn't going to talk about books that it sucked. This one somehow, just like Bendis managed to get a job, this thing managed to get into the wrong pile. Ooh. Now, the neat thing about the DC books is some of the bigger titles are more money, but they're 40 pages instead of 32. So there's a backup story. And this has the Justice League Dark backup story in it. So if Justice League continues with a decent Justice League Dark story in the back, that might be a saving grace for me to like weather the storm until Bendis is gone. Because it was actually pretty good. It was neat. Merlin's back. So they're reintroducing Merlin into the DC universe and stuff. And so I don't know. We'll see. There's some rumors that these 40-page books are going to be $5.99 US coming up shortly. They've already found a Batman book that was $5.99.
Is that $8 Canadian then?
My gosh, DC, come on. a $6 US 40-page comic book is not sustainable. People are not going to buy that. They were fetching at $2.99. They fetched at $3.99. You're giving them $4.99 and say, hey, but there's more pages. Okay, fine, great. But then you do stupid things like split the backup Robin story between Batman and Detective. So it's like one of those ploys where you got to buy Batman and Detective to get the Robin story. And then the Robin story doesn't really have a payoff at all. It's just an introduction to the new Robin comic. And some dumb bonehead named Martin went and bought the Detective comics, even though he doesn't read Detective, just so he could get the Robin story. And he was completely and totally dejected by the whole idea. This is why you start reading books from trade paperbacks and hardcovers and omnibuses. Because if it made it to a hardcover, it means it's a decent story. You know,
well, that's not true. Bendis' stories get to hardcover.
This is true. You're right. I stand corrected. So I don't know. That was what I read. It was okay-ish. Some good stuff there.
Hey, Marty, did any of the other DC ones, like what were the other backup stories?
Like I said, Batman had a Robin backup story.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like it's going to stay a Robin story. It seems like what they're going to do is do a revolving set of backup stories in the back of Batman, a different thing each time. That's like that Batman Urban Legends. So that's a thick 80-page book for $9.99 or $8.99, whatever it is, US. But it's a complete anthology, and it had like four or five stories in it. It was interesting. I think it's a better format. I think it might work. I can't remember what the backups were in any of the other ones. The Nightwing was $3.99. It was just a regular size. So I don't know if that's going to fly. It's going to work. DC's going to try it. If it works, great. If they get rewarded, it'll continue. If they don't get rewarded with sales, it won't continue and they'll try something else. There's a long history of that. Like way back when comics were like 25 cents a piece, DC went, I think it was 25 cents. DC went with 50 cent books that were 100 pagers and same thing, anthologies and stuff didn't work. So they reintroduced the 25 cent comics. They did the same thing later on. They put 64 page books out and then rolled it back. So we'll see. But you know, Marvel's just sitting there itching. Marvel always does this. DC raises the prices, tests the waters. If it works and there's not too much fetching, Marvel's jacks up the price to the same price point. They're smart that they don't do it first, but they never miss an opportunity to price match when they see that us suckers are willing to swallow that, you know? So we'll see how it goes. But those aren't my most fun pickups. I meandered into a Chapters this week and just happened to go through the magazine section. And in the magazine section, I found a thick magazine called The Daleks. And this is a British reprint from Panini Magazines. that's reprinting all the Dalek comic strips from a newspaper that was published out there, a sci-fi newspaper out there that was called, TV Century 21 or Century 21 TV. And this is fantastic. Like, it's full color. It's thick. It's got a poop ton of pages in here. And it's reprinting this 1960s Dalek comic strip. It was like one page per newspaper. So it's got reprinted. That's a little bit pricey. It was $24.99 Canadian, $19.99 US. But it is done up more like a trade paperback than a magazine. Like, it's thick, it's square bound. So I'm really excited to dive in and start reading that as my ADHD triggers at this $24.99 priced sticker here that now I have to peel off. So you guys carry on as I peel.
So is it like that book you got there, is it actually like a Doctor Who book as well, or is it strictly the Daleks? Or
it's strictly the Daleks. I don't know if the title of the strip was The Daleks. And I don't know if Doctor Who ever makes an appearance or if this is like the further adventures of the Daleks, because I've never read it before. I knew it existed, but I've just never ever read this.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to dive into it. You know, something new, something strange and unusual that I haven't read and yet still strangely familiar. So I'm looking forward to it. Now I gotta go find the Gooby gun. Oh my gosh, I'm having an anxiety attack.
Oh, breathe deep, breathe deep.
Sticker residue. Sticker residue. You should see the setup I have when I process my Dollarama trade paperbacks. I let a small pile stack up, and then I have one pocket knife in particular that doesn't cut the book. It just peels the sticker nice, and a bottle of Gooby gun and some baby wipes after the Gooby gun to wipe it down, and then paper towel, and it's a whole setup.
Well, if you use a hair dryer and then you put it on the sticker on low, it'll loosen up the adhesive as well.
I tried that.
Yeah, no go.
It worked. It was okay.
Yeah,
but you know,
he's got his process.
This other process worked a little bit cleaner. So that was my week. What about you guys?
That sounds pretty adventurous. You got all kinds of fun stuff there.
Oh, I tried to, anyways. It's just the sun was nice. You know, you could go out and do a little bit of shopping. So me and my daughter, Sophia, we got out, did some hikes, did some walks, played some tennis. Okay. All right. To call what we did tennis is like calling a game of catch with a three-year-old baseball. But we hit a ball back and forth, lost it in the hedge. There's no net because they haven't, the parks don't have the nets out yet at the public tennis courts and stuff. But it was fun. It was good.
Yeah.
Dad didn't die. He didn't have a heart attack. He had to go pee really badly, like an old guy does. But and while we were doing that, we stopped at Chapters, and we used to do that all the time. At least once a week, me and the kids would go into Chapters, and everybody would grab a book. So it was nice to kind of return to that with all the restrictions and social distancing. And you know, you walk into the store, and right away you got to put the goop on, and somebody's there at the door to give you the third degree on exactly how this all works. And
don't touch.
You know, everybody's super respectful, and it went nice. It was good. It was fun. So
yeah,
like I have the side benefit of being tested. Once it was every 2 weeks, then for a little while it was every week with my job, because we service computers and stuff for a bunch of healthcare centers and long-term care facilities. So we got to be tested. Otherwise you can't get in. They've changed it now to on the spot testing. So okay. You want to go in, you get swabbed, you got to sit in the parking lot for 15 minutes. And if you pass, then you're in. So I got my last, it was actually this morning. I got my last rapid test. So I'm COVID free.
Nice.
For now.
So did you guys hear about San Diego Comic-Con?
No.
What? So apparently it was going to be strictly online this year. But something changed, and they've decided that they're going to have some stuff happening in the hall. And they didn't notify the hotels and stuff around. So I was kind of caught a little bit of it on the radio this morning. They were actually talking about it. And the hotels were kind of caught unaware. So this one guy, he got the hotel for the regular price before they jacked them all up to like $800 for the weekend. So he got the hotel for like $125 or whatever before they cranked them up to $800. So yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting little. So I don't know if
that should be illegal.
Sure, but
I don't begrudge anybody for making a little bit of money, but the absolute gouging that happens on convention weekends is ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
like the same thing happened at the Niagara Falls convention once. We got a room at Niagara Falls Buffalo for, I can't remember what it was, something stupid like $24 US a night. It was just ridiculous. And in Canada, it was $210, $260 a night. And this was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, you want to make money when you can, because there's lots of times when that hotel sits empty. But the gouging during San Diego Comic-Con, the gouging.
Yeah. I always wanted to go. I thought it'd be kind of neat to just go once, like kind of a once in a lifetime thing. But the more you listen to stuff, like it costs almost as much to stay in the hotel as it does to like fly down.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
And then the lottery to try to get a ticket and all that stuff. Yeah. Like the fact that it was virtual last year is the only reason I attended San Diego Comic-Con, because I got called in to do a panel for somebody that dropped out last minute.
Okay.
So I was on virtual San Diego Comic-Con panel. How to market your independent comic book.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, they announced the lineup for the new one and I wasn't on the list. So I'm like, hey, okay. Nobody liked my bedroom. Background in the room. That's fine. But yeah, I still kind of want to go, but I feel like the hype is bigger than what it actually is nowadays.
Yeah. I guess I kind of got a little bit tainted in the beginning, because I kind of followed Chuck Rosinski, you know, from Mile High Comics, and he got to the point where he was like, he'd been doing it since the beginning, and even he was down on it, because it's like, it's not even about the comics anymore. Now it's more like a nerd convention, I guess. It's everything. And the comics are just such a small, small part of it now.
As a comic collector, you don't want to go to those. Like, it's the worst.
Yeah, because the books are, like, stupid expensive. And there's no bins to dig through. It's all, yeah. No, you're right.
Now, I don't know. I mean, is that really the case or not? Because, you know, we have our own Fan Expo Canada in Toronto. It's they still have the third position in North America as far as being the third largest pop culture event like that. I think they're still there. They used to be. So it was San Diego, New York, then Fan Expo Canada. And it's, you know, like you said, like Xbox is advertising there. Hasbro had a booth through EB Games. You know, they got the horror stuff, the anime stuff, but there's still tons of comics if you want to be a bin diver.
Uh-oh. I remember Zellers having a booth there the 1 year when they were still around. Like, Zellers, why?
Like, for me, a place like Fan Expo, and again, maybe San Diego is, like, so much further gone, and it is nuts and crazy, but or maybe it's just not up to, because there was a period there where Chuck whined about everything.
Yeah.
He was not a happy person. He owed a shit ton of money, and he was just, like, whining nonstop. But anyways. But, like, Fan Expo, I could go there. There is tons to do. You can spend, like, I spent 2 days solid in Artist Alley just talking with friends and buddies. You know, I spent a day bin diving and looking up and buying stuff. I bought a lightsaber of all darn things and a whack of comics and stuff. And yeah, like you said, the prices are a little bit higher, but it's almost like they expect you to haggle. Like, they know that you're going to be like, so every time I bought like a stack of books, and I just gave it to the guy. I said, okay, how much? And he's like flipping through it, and he looks at me, flips through it, and he comes up with a price that is not anywhere near what the sticker price was. Right. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. But it's also a really good destination to get Like there's a couple of key books that I always was missing. Like I was missing just New Teen Titans number 2, first appearance of Deathstroke. And I know that's an expensive book. This is years ago.
Yeah.
I went to like Fan Expo specifically to find a copy.
Okay.
And I found like 6 or 7, best price for the best condition, haggled a little bit off of that too, and walked out of there with the book that I wanted.
How long ago was that?
That's going to be a while.
Was it CGC?
2013.
Okay.
2015, 16, somewhere around there.
That sounds about the same time I bought mine. Yeah. What'd you pay for yours?
125.
Okay.
120.
They had mine graded. It's not like CGC, but they had mine graded at a 9.0.
Yeah.
And it was $35.
Yeah. No, this was really, really good shape, but.
And now it's like ridiculous.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I hear people whining about Fan Expo, and I've whined about it myself in the past because sometimes the crowds can be overwhelming and stuff. And you know, it is a lot of people. Have you got a bit of social anxiety? But if you get the right attitude and you find the right niches and the right alleyways and the right corners, mm-hmm. there's stuff there for everybody.
Yeah. Well, my friend Martin, he went, him and his wife, they went, and he said it was fun. He enjoyed himself. It was a good weekend, but he was one and done. Like yeah. the one weekend was good enough.
Yeah, it is so a lot. And like you can get burnt out. Like I think the last time I went, I had a 4-day pass or 5-day pass or whatever. Like I had the pass for the whole thing, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure I went home Saturday morning just done, just yeah. finished. Just the back was hurting, the ankles were hurting, the wallet was hurting.
Yeah, because it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? Like it's yeah. a 4-day? Yeah.
So, but it was fun. I am going back for sure. I might only mm-hmm. go back for a day, you know, pick one of the days. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely going back. It's a good time.
I always liked the March Con.
The March Con is great.
It I always enjoyed that, and I'm really missing it. That's two years down now, right? So
the one thing that we should do though is almost every month there was the Toronto Comic Book Show. Mm-hmm. And it is nothing but long boxes. Nothing but okay. comic dealers. You know. Now if the guy from Pendragon is there, it's gonna be you know, it's gonna be Bendis like, but That's my bit of shade for today. Anyways, guys, I think that's it for this week. We are out of time. So as always, catch our podcasts manually at heykidscomics.ca. Take a look at the cute little pictures that accompany each one, the little punny joke that we put in there that you don't see anywhere else. Or just listen to us on the plethora of podcast networks that we're available on. Everything. Apple, Android, Windows, Flip, we're on everything. Until next week, that's it for us. Thank you and good reading.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
Can you do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.